Father in heaven, as we open your word, speak to our hearts, we pray. Help us to understand all that you have inspired, and teach us now, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. To be a useful Christian, one has to be a team player. The Apostle Paul formed many close relationships with people in the work of the gospel. He wasn't often alone. He was very rarely alone. First with Barnabas, then Silas, then with Timothy, Luke, and Epaphroditus. These were all single people, as far as we know. But there was an exception to this. Paul had a precious relationship with a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and they came to play an important part in the life of Paul and in the development of the early church. Now, tonight, I want to look at this couple who had a very special marriage relationship. In their marriage and in their ministry, they were together. They were a team, the most beautiful husband and wife ministry team in the Bible, the best Bible example of a Christ-centered marriage. Now, they're mentioned by name six times, three times in Acts, once in Romans, once in 1 Corinthians, and once in 2 Timothy. For those of you who are not yet married, this is an opportunity to think about what you would like marriage to look like, to be like. For those of you who are married, to think about how you could make your marriage better. And for those of you who think you are beyond marriage, well, you never know. We'll look first at what we know about them, and then we'll think about what we can learn about Christian marriage from them. This is a couple who are united in every possible way. Wherever you find Aquila, there is Priscilla. Wherever Priscilla is, there is Aquila. They're never mentioned separately, always together. They were Jews together. Paul first met them in Corinth. They were refugees, they were asylum seekers. They'd been expelled from Rome under a policy of ethnic cleansing. Claudius, the emperor, had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So Aquila and Priscilla had to leave. So they knew the pain of having to suddenly leave their home, their business, their country. So they left Rome and they found asylum in Corinth. And they were Christians together. As far as we can tell, they were Christians when they left Rome. We have no account of their conversion in Corinth. And Paul's readiness to stay with them indicates, I think, that they were already Christians. I doubt he would have stayed with them if they weren't. They were in business together. When Paul met Aquila, he discovered that he was a tent maker, like himself. Paul was trained to be a tent maker. And when Aquila invited Paul back to his home, Paul discovered that Priscilla was also a tent maker. A friendship quickly developed, and Paul worked alongside them. It proved to be a very happy arrangement because Paul stayed some time in Corinth, every day in the synagogue, arguing with Jews and Greeks that Jesus was the Christ. And they showed hospitality together. They offered Paul a home and later on a home to a man called Apollos, and we'll come back to him in a moment. And they traveled together. I think they were an ordinary working Christian couple when Paul met them. They knew little or anything about Christian ministry. But through Paul, their eyes were open to the possibility of serving the Lord with their lives. Through Paul's encouragement, they became the most effective couple in the early church. They traveled with Paul by ship from Corinth to Antioch in Syria on that second missionary journey. That ship stopped en route in Ephesus. The Jews in Ephesus wanted Paul to stay, but he wanted to travel on to Antioch, his home church, so he left. But he left behind Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus to continue the good work. And they worshipped and witnessed together. One day while they were in the synagogue together, a man called Apollos got up and greatly impressed them. He was a Jew. He was a very well-educated Jew with an excellent knowledge of the scriptures, we're told. But more than that, he was a Christian believer who witnessed boldly about his faith in Christ. But there were some things about his teaching that weren't quite right, or at least they weren't fully formed. So Aquila and Priscilla invited him to their home, and together they explained to him the way of God more adequately, we read. Now, where did they get such knowledge to be able to do that? A well-educated Jew like Apollos, well-versed in the scriptures. Where did they get the knowledge to be able to instruct him more thoroughly? They were only tent makers, remember? Well, I'm sure you've got the answer as well as I have. From Paul, of course. All that time living together, working together, talking together, discussing together, learning together, praying together, all put now to good use. What Paul taught them, they passed on. And Apollos went on to become a major league player in the ministry of the gospel in Corinth. And undoubtedly owed very much of his ability to his friendship with Aquila and Priscilla. And then they spent their lives together in gospel service. Their first taste of ministry made them hungry for more. Eventually they left Ephesus. What did they do? They visited all the churches that Paul had visited on previous occasions. They had their own missionary tour. Do you know where Aquila and Priscilla ended up after their missionary tour, at the end of their missionary tour? Back in Rome, where they'd come from. But now they were very different people from when they had been expelled. They were back with a mission. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." Well, what a commendation that is. All the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. They'd left Rome as asylum seekers. Now they're back in Rome, risking everything for the gospel. This statement, all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. I don't think we appreciate the depth of that statement. They were Jews, but all that racial superiority, all that prejudice against Gentiles was gone. They served the Gentile churches. They really caught hold of what grace means, of what the gospel of grace is about. They loved helping, serving, encouraging Gentile Christians. and Gentile Christians love them. Isn't that wonderful? Gentiles being taught by Jews. The word Paul uses here that's translated, they risk their lives, is trakalos. Trakalos, from which we get the word necks. This thing here, our necks. Literal translation is, they risk their necks for us. They put their lives on the line for Paul. This is a couple who are root and branch committed to the work of the gospel. And finally, they went back to the church in Ephesus. We know this because when Paul wrote a letter from his prison cell in Rome, writing to Timothy, who's the pastor of the church at Ephesus, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. So there they are in Ephesus. And there's their life story. That's their life story according to the Bible. What they did together. They were Jews together. They were Christians together. They were in business together. They were in hospitality together. They traveled together. They worshipped and witnessed together. And they spent their lives together in gospel service. They're a model Christian marriage. And they're the only one we have in the New Testament. So what should we learn about marriage from them? Well, firstly, let me suggest the value of sharing a common Christian faith. Aquila and Priscilla were united in their Christian faith and lifestyle. The Bible makes it clear, doesn't it, that Christians should only marry other Christians. They should be united in that which is the most important aspect of their lives. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes after marriage, one of the partners becomes a Christian. Or even after a Christian marriage, one of the partners can turn out not to be a Christian or to be very backslidden. And that long for unity, Christian unity, is not there. Now, I want to take this opportunity tonight to say how greatly I admire those Christians in our church who endeavor to serve the Lord faithfully in a marriage that doesn't share a common Christian foundation. It is not a situation we should ever plan for, but when it happens, it puts great challenges upon a believer's faith. It is very difficult to maintain one's Christian zeal and focus day in, day out, year in, year out, because there is always the need to be thinking about one's unbelieving partner. Paul is very practical when he says in 1 Corinthians 7, a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. A married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. That is a fact. Seeking to please one's unbelieving partner means that many Christian things that could have been enjoyed together have to be sidelined. Issues about child rearing, discipline, where to live, how the use of money, standards, all these things become potential areas of conflict and disagreement. And spiritual things can rarely be talked about. And the pleasure of sharing what you have read or how you've been blessed by God has to remain in your heart only. And when one is down spiritually, there is none to encourage and lift up. And it becomes so much easier to miss church on a Sunday and miss the prayer meeting during the week. So well done to those in our fellowship who struggle every day in maintaining their Christian commitment in such circumstances. I really admire you, and I tell others that I admire you. What made Aquila and Priscilla shine so brightly was that they had a shared, common Christian faith and lifestyle. And that must be our aim when we come to marriage, that we have one who is like-minded in Christian things. And then secondly, the importance of a Christ-centered marriage. And this is a different thing. You see, they were more than just Christians together. Not all Christians have a marriage that is Christ-centered. That's a sad fact. Not all Christians are committed as they should be to the Lord's work. Not all Christians relate to each other as Christians. That somehow the home is not a Christian sphere. Come to church together, but that's the extent of the Christian life. At home, there is another kind of life that is not Christian. Aquila and Priscilla were together in the gospel. They shared the same goals, the same desires, the same enthusiasm for Christian service. And they risked their necks together for the gospel. Christ was there at the center of their marriage together. Even when two Christians get married, there are so many things that try to tear you apart. You know that illustration that we often use, Simon and I often use in the marriage ceremony, where if you take two pieces of string, two single cords of string, and you try and wind them together, and you let go, they will unwind by themselves. That is the nature of it. To bind two strands together, there has to be a third strand. Every rope, every string you've ever seen is made of three strands. If it's made of two, it will unwind by itself. Solomon says, two are better than one, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's the third strand that keeps it all together. And that's why Christ must be kept at the forefront of your relationship, or your relationship will start to unwind, even as Christians. Closer you grow to Christ, the closer you'll grow to each other, like sides of a triangle going up towards the apex. They come closer together. This will always be a good test for those who are approaching marriage. Can I serve the Lord better? Does this person help me to serve Christ better, to want to serve the Lord better? Your eyes must not only be upon each other, but on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Scripture says, the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things that you're going to need in marriage, in your married life together, he will provide. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he will provide. Learn to pray with each other. Make those times of saying grace at mealtime worthwhile. Pray for one another. Talk about spiritual things together. Share your blessings and experiences together. And listen to one another. Value each other's opinions. Make time to be together. Do Christian things together. And when you plan for the future, talk about God's will for your life. Bring the Lord into that conversation. I ask you, are you together as a Christian couple? What can you do to help you both being more together as Christians? What can you input to make you more together as Christians in your marriage? And then thirdly, the joy of being actively involved together in the Lord's work. Perhaps they never saw the potential of what they could do until Paul encouraged them. He lit the fire in their hearts. He gave them a taste. And they loved that taste. They saw the value of a Christian home, how it could be used for the Lord's work, how when they went to Rome, the church met in their home, how it blessed Paul, how it blessed Apollos. Now, to have a place which we call home, whether it's rented or whether it's our own, is a great blessing. But our homes are there to serve. They're there to serve us and not become idols and dictate our lives. They are our servants, not our masters. They are gifts to be used, not something in which to cocoon ourselves or something to impress neighbors and friends who might visit. You can spend so much time and money on your home that you have no time or money for God's kingdom. And it becomes a god as much as any idol. And John warns us to flee from idols. Clearly, Aquila and Priscilla were not servants to their home, their house. They never made their house something that rooted them in one place. They were willing to pull up their roots and move if that's what needed to be done. So they went from Rome to Corinth and Corinth to Ephesus and Ephesus through Asia Minor to Rome and then from Rome back to Ephesus again. Aquila and Priscilla used their home to serve God. They made it work for them. They had people stay with them, like Paul. When the need arose, they gave up their privacy to help a brother in need. And they invited people back there, like Apollos. It was a friendly, comfortable place where the work of nurturing and teaching could take place in an atmosphere of love and security. And they used their home for the church to meet in. They opened up their home for anyone to come. Did people come in without brushing their shoes, soiling their carpet, spilling drinks on their furniture, messing the place up? Yes, they probably did. Did they mind? Yes, probably. Did it stop them? No. They had a greater desire to see the church prosper and people converted and Christians built up in their faith. Paul spoke a lot about the value of hospitality, didn't he, in many of his letters. And he set it out as a mark of spiritual leadership. It's a necessary requirement of elders. Did he learn its value from Aquila and Priscilla? Did he see the great good that could be done by using a home for the kingdom of God? Now, as far as we can tell, they didn't have children. There is no mention of them. And as a couple, they are never referred to as the household of Aquila and Priscilla, as others are called. Did they choose to be childless? Very unlikely. They were a Jewish couple. And children were always considered a great blessing and to be without children a very great sorrow. Perhaps they hoped and prayed for children, but they never came. Well, they learned to live with that. They learned to cope with that. What they did was exploit the situation in which they found themselves. They used their freedom from responsibilities of caring for a family. They couldn't have traveled as they did. They couldn't have risked their lives as they did with a family in tow. They saw themselves as adaptable, able to move in and out of a situation, able to have people stay, able to offer hospitality freely. They exploited the situation that Providence had put them in. I suppose there is even the possibility that they were an older couple whose children had all grown up and moved away from home. But whatever their situation, and perhaps we would like to know more, they adapted themselves in order to meet the needs of the church. Are there things that you can do together? Are there ways in which you can use your home to serve the Lord and do that together? Finally, the importance of valuing each other's gifts and ministry. It's very interesting that 5 out of the 7 times that Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in the New Testament, I mentioned 6 different places, but they're mentioned twice in one place. They're not mentioned as Aquila and Priscilla. 5 of those 7 times it is Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Greek and Jewish culture, much like our own, usually referred to people as Mr. and Mrs. But it is quite clear that Luke had no qualms publicly calling them the wife and husband team. Nor did the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Rome and to Timothy, calling them Priscilla, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now, what does that suggest to you? Maybe that Priscilla was the more outgoing personality? Maybe the more gifted? The more able? But it doesn't seem to have threatened Aquila or made him jealous. They couldn't have been useful to Paul. They couldn't have been useful to the gospel if their relationship was being undermined by personal insecurities and petty jealousies. Aquila supported Priscilla. He honored her. He valued her abilities. He celebrated her gifts. Aquila never told Priscilla that a woman's place was in the home or one step behind him. He never told her that traveling was too dangerous for a woman and she should stick to domestic duties at home. They respected each other's ministry and gifts and uniqueness. They were glad to see God's word spreading, people's lives changing, and ministry being done. The important thing to them was never to be at odds with each other. Agreed together, respecting each other and the work and the ability that each are able to do. So let me ask you a few questions as we close. Are you able to rejoice in your married partner's gifts and graces? Are you glad to see them being used by God and useful to God? Do you support each other with honor and respect? Do you show interest in what your partner does, in the work that they do? Do you encourage your partner in spiritual things, making it possible for them to get to a meeting of the church? Do you value the work that your husband or wife does in the church, or their particular contribution to home and family life? Do you value the importance of it in contributing to your marriage and your life together? And do you tell them? Do you tell them how much you appreciate what they do? Relationships can become barren and stale for want of encouragement. So encourage one another. Who knows where the Lord will take you, what avenues of service he will open up for you when he is at the center of your relationship together. So that's been our focus tonight, this Christian couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Wherever Providence puts us tonight, please pray that you may be useful to the kingdom of God. Whatever circumstances you find yourself, will you pray that you'll be useful to the kingdom of God? Open to the Holy Spirit to use you and be a blessing and encouragement to others. And if there is a partner at your side, a husband, a wife, that you'll be a blessing to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, history shows, and we know in our own history as a church, the value of Christian homes and the value of Christian families. And we do pray, O God, for all the marriages in this church. Lord, where there is strife, we pray by your Spirit you may bring peace and humility and love. We pray for husband and wife to be united together. Lord, you have united them together in faith. May they know the outworking of that in their lives. We pray for every Christian marriage in our church, O Lord, that it would be putting first your kingdom and wanting to serve you together in the gospel, that we may not be pleasure-centered, world-centered. Help us to be Christ-centered, and help us to encourage one another in the things of the faith. Lord, we pray for every husband or wife here who is not united in Christian faith, for whatever reason, we pray you would uphold them and keep them persevering. Strengthen them, O Lord, to keep going on faithfully with you and to serve you in their circumstances. Help them to be a good witness at home in that most difficult of places. Help give them the wisdom to know how to respond to different situations as they arise. And grant in your great mercy, Lord, that they would yet see their partner converted to Christ. And for those, Lord, who are awaiting marriage, Lord, Give them great wisdom in the choice of a partner, that that marriage may be Christ-centered and kingdom-centered, wanting to serve you on the earth while you give us breath. And we pray for many such marriages in this church. Lord, thank you for all those who have been married here. We pray they will go on faithfully with you. And we pray that a younger generation arising will trust you to guide them, lead them, provide for them at the time that is right. We put that in your hands, Lord. We trust you. Help us to seek first your kingdom, knowing you will give us all good things that we need. For your name's sake, Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.